Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another exciting episode, episode 52 of Are You Not Kentertained? I am your substitute host, Russ, because Carrie, our normal host, is out celebrating her anniversary to her husband, so congratulations to her. But along with me today is, of course, Kent, the Maleficent Kent. Kent, how you doing? Looks like you're stuffing your face as normal, but how are things?
I'm hungry. I haven't ate since, like, I don't know, 3 a.m., so.
Dang, sir, that's a long time not to eat.
Feels good to eat.
It does, doesn't it? Why'd you take so long to eat? Jeez.
I got stuck, like, playing video games. Video games. The ultimate diet.
That should be the ultimate diet, I think. All right, so if you're new to the show, normally Carrie tells you that we talk about wrestling. And, of course, we do talk about wrestling. The week, how it went, things like that, our opinions, and sometimes we get a little bit off, but we'll see what happens today.
So you're saying that we get off?
We do get
Fantastic.
Off. Fantastic. Quickly, too, because we are men. Carrie is usually the one that takes longer for her to get off, but, you know. Now, yeah, it is June 7th. I didn't mention that. It is June 7th, so.
Yeah, that would be helpful, yes. Yeah.
Thought I would bring that up. All right, so let's talk wrestling. Kent, what really, you know, we haven't done this in a while, so let's do it this way. Let's do Tickled Your Fancy. We haven't done that in so long. So what tickled your fancy this week, Kent? What really got you to think about wrestling?
I mentioned this to Steve on Monday prior to seeing Raw. I really am liking Bray Wyatt, and it's been going on for the past few months, but I feel that something's kind of the switch has been flipped for him. He's finally getting it. He's getting to know the flow of a match. He's handling himself very well in ring. His moves look crisper, and he's taking his time with it. He's following the Jake the Snake Roberts rules, basically, and it's working really well for him. And now they're actually giving him something to sink his teeth into because he's pissing off Roman, Seth, and Finn, which is fantastic. That probably has been the highlight of my week, really, for wrestling.
Yeah, his matches have slowly gotten better since Mania. Mania was awful. I don't care what anybody
he was
says.
Doing it before Mania, when him and Randy were tag champs, but what the feud with Randy fucked. Like, if you take away all Randy matches where they were opponents, all Bray's matches this year have been pretty good.
Yeah.
But the Randy stuff really,
I think Randy helped him in his matches, it seems like to me. I think maybe Randy did that for a little bit for him, helped him, because he has improved a lot since being with Randy. It's just his matches with Randy suck. So, I mean, he hasn't had a good match against Randy ever.
Is it possibly because they are so similar in some ways in ring psychology-wise?
Ring psychology, maybe that's what it is, because like, it's just his. I don't know. It just, they were, okay, there was nothing same in the House of Horrors. So, I don't think there's anything either of them could have done that. That was just a terrible, terrible thing. But, the match against Roman Reigns on Monday was fan-friggin-tastic. Like, that was some of the best stuff from Bray. Roman, he's usually at a high caliber anyway. Yeah, we're not against Roman here.
One thing I want to point out with Roman, and this is something the WWE really needs to fix fast. They're putting him in Dolph Ziggler territory where his finishers are no longer finishing opponents.
Yeah, I noticed that. Yeah.
Guys, they need to fucking finish off people to be a finisher.
Yeah, the Superman punch needs to be a knockout punch. It needs to be.
Like Big Show's knockout punch, you lose.
Yeah.
You know, that's how the Superman punch needs to be treated.
Yeah, exactly. And in the last two times he's used it, at least three times he's used it, I think he hasn't gotten the pin, actually. So you're right. That's dangerous territory.
He's actually been hitting it for months and not getting the win the first time in bigger matches. Like, it's been happening more and more often, unfortunately, but Monday it was really noticeable between that and the spear.
Yeah, but the problem I think they're having is they're putting all of their main event guys up against each other, which is fine, sort of, but they're not, I don't know, they're all just trading wins at this point, and it's kind of getting a little bit stale.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's nobody's really getting over.
Right.
Except for Roman, to an extent. Who would you have Bray feud against?
Well, it seems like they're going against Seth, but we've seen this before where he's chosen a victim and then the next week completely ignore it. So, who the hell knows? But honestly, I think him and Seth would make a good, would make a very good feud. Definitely since they're trying to make Seth this superhero babyface, I guess. Is that kind of what the role he's fitting into? Doesn't it suck that they try to fit them into these roles instead of just letting them be natural face, natural heel?
The Kingslayer bit is retarded. Yes. There, I said it. It's terrible. It doesn't fit him.
Nope.
It sucks. They're trying to fit Seth into a role that's not
with him.
I didn't send you and Carrie the link to. There was I read this nice post. It was on, I think, Ringside Cage Seats or some bullshit.
Cage Side Seats.
Yeah.
That's one of them.
And it was about how they booked Seth and Finn. And I was like, holy shit, I gotta send this. And I probably just never did.
You didn't.
But it was so spot on how wrong they've booked Finn and Seth.
Oh,
so
absolutely.
Far.
Yeah. Because Seth's not a superhero stand-up type guy. They're trying it. He's more of a cerebral type guy. And he's more about the action and going out and attacking. So, I don't know. It just feels like they're trying too hard with Seth. And it's kind of hurting it for me. I mean, he'll always be one of my favorite wrestlers. Don't get me wrong. But right now, I'm just kind of... I love him, but they're not doing anything with him. Spinning his wheels. So what do I care? He needs to do something.
Another problem with Seth is that he does not... His ability as a face on the mic is substandard at best. His laugh is that of a sniveling heel coward,
yes,
still.
That's what I'm saying. He's not the, you know, I'm a face, you're a bad person type person. He's more of a cerebral type. That's his key, and they're pigeonholing him, and it's boring, frankly. It's because it's not him. They do better when they do natural stuff like Bray. Natural creepiness, he does really good with that, and Bray is a good character. The problem is WWE doesn't know how to book him, although they've been doing really well lately. He needs to win. Do you agree with me on that? He needs to win one of these feuds with either Roman, Finn, or Seth.
Bray does?
Yes, Bray.
I think Bray needs to... I think putting Bray over Roman right now, while Roman's not in his WrestleMania push, right now is a good time for Roman to lose a feud. And it would really help Bray. I think that's your best case scenario. I think Seth and Finn need to hold out strong until their match with Brock. That's the hard part, though, is... who do you have them feud against? Like, all right, so say we have Bray feud with, we'll say, Seth.
Okay.
Well, now you're kind of fucked already. Because you want to push Bray, you want Seth to look strong for Brock.
Yep.
Finn, who do you have Finn go against? Are you just going to have all four guys just keep fucking each other?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. They have literally taken those five guys and put them on their own tier. And have allowed nobody else to even touch the tier. So it is so hard for those guys to do anything. Because, like, you're right. Bray and Seth, okay, is Roman going to fight Finn? That doesn't make much sense.
It's a good matchup, surprisingly, though.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Every time they fought, it's been a good match.
Oh, absolutely.
Finn really does well with that. Well, look at this. When Braun comes back, Braun and Roman has been done to death.
Yes.
We've already seen Braun and Seth have no chemistry whatsoever.
But yeah, they've only had one match, though, too. So let's kind of... I understand what you're saying. That match was terrible, but...
I'm just saying that they really need to stop this face versus heel stuff on Raw so much because they're running out of options already. Unless they're going to move Elias up, Miz up, Dean up, or if they're going to make Cass into something bigger.
Well, all of them should be able to be in those feuds with those guys, don't you think? I mean, I would love to see Miz versus Finn. I would love to see Elias versus anybody at that level. I'd love to see, honestly, they could take Apollo, turn him friggin' heel, and go up against some of those guys. He's good in the ring. He just has to have a mouthpiece. He's got his mouthpiece. Let's stop doing the garbage stuff they're doing with it.
And maybe make better use of Big Show while he looks like a complete giant badass, and maybe put him in the mix with these guys. He doesn't have to win, but if he's in the ring, you know he can perform.
Yes.
You don't need him going 20 minutes. Nope. He can do a 10-minute match, though, no problem. So do that. Yep. How is this difficult?
I don't know. They have the talent. Is this not one of the most talented rosters ever?
Yeah, it's incredibly talented, and that's what makes it so frustrating, is that you see what SmackDown does with significantly less talent and making it better. Raw needs to take these four guys right now and put them up against your Deans, your Mizes, your Eliases, your Casses.
But they're setting up, it seems like to me, they're setting up a mid-card, which we've always been complaining about. So it seems like they're setting up a mid-card, but they're also setting up a upper card. But they're not letting them interact. Maybe that'll change once they've set up this mid-card. But
That's a problem. They should have them interacting. Even if the mid-carder doesn't always get over the upper card. At some point, they have to, though. But just not on a regular basis. And it'd be fine.
Yeah. I don't know. Bray Taylor. Let's go back to Bray. Who do you think Bray's next opponent should be? I don't know if I answered. I think Seth's going to be it, honestly. And I think that's fine, that they have a great feud.
I think it's going to be Seth, too, based on the promotion of the first time ever match between those two a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And the way that Seth kind of talked. I think it's going to be him. I've been thinking it was going to be Finn, but now I'm leaning towards Seth.
Okay.
Plus, that leaves Finn and Roman to have a feud if they so choose, and that's a better matchup than Seth versus Roman.
Well, we've seen that so many times.
Well, yeah, that... Yeah.
Anything S.H.I.E.L.D. related is kind of played out a lot. We need to let that fall out a little bit until they either reunite or whatever, but...
Well, Dean needs a heel turn.
Absolutely. He needs it in the bad way. He was so good as a heel.
But the problem is, Raw, with Braun healthy, and if they do turn Cass, is so loaded with big, badass heels...
Yeah.
Dean can't turn heel.
No, but Dean is also good as that wacky face.
To an extent, yeah. He's popular, but he's got to lose that stupid-ass bounce-off-the-ropes thing where I feel bad for his opponent. Every time his opponent has to watch him bounce off and then like be like, nope, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to stand here and get hit, even though I've been watching you for the past 4 seconds. Makes no sense.
And not to mention, he does it all the time, so you think you'd be prepared for it. There are some moves in wrestling that you just like, why are they bothering? It's so obvious what they're doing, you can counter it. It's their signature move.
It's unbelievably frustrating.
Yes.
Yeah.
That one is one of the big ones for me. There's another one. Oh, Seth and that. Not the Sling Blade, but the one where he jumps off the rope and flips over him. Great move.
Oh, yeah.
But I know... You know exactly what he's going to do when he's up there and you're standing up. It's pretty obvious.
Do you think that Finn and Seth should have a feud over who gets the rights to Sling Blade? Because Seth has started using it way more now that Finn's back. It seems kind of like that's got to go somewhere.
Hey, you know what? If they can make a feud out of it, fantastic. Sling Blade future, sure. Why not? And obviously Finn should win that one. And that way... They should do stupid things like that, don't you think? Then they can have like matches, and if they lose, it doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal if they lose.
Not like that, but it would actually... Maybe they should make the Sling Blade into a more important move that hurts opponents more. Maybe gets more near counts, something like that.
Right.
And then have the feud. It would make a lot of sense.
Right.
Because... Finn's finisher is not all that great. Seth's finisher... What is Seth's finisher currently?
It's that thing that... It's kind of like Kenny Omega's. Where he... grabs you, whips you around, pulls you back, and then knees you or something.
Oh, okay.
He did it to Rome... Or he was going to do it to... who was his Monday Night opponent?
What a handsome question. Joe.
Okay, let's see. He was about to do it to Joe. Joe sidestepped it. That's when Bray's music hit, and then that's when the distraction happened.
Because, like, Seth has about five finishers, and he's another guy. He's another guy that needs to differentiate what his finisher is versus everything else, and he needs to use only the finisher to try to finish the opponent off.
Yes.
That's a major gripe of mine.
Well, yeah, but he has so many different finishers, it's hard to...
Yeah. Fair enough.
Oh, man, I had a question. I completely dropped it because you started talking about Seth, and you know how I am with Seth.
Raging clue.
It was a huge clue. Massive. I mean, I think everyone could see that clue coming. Oh, well, if it comes back to me, I'll talk about it. So, one of the things that tickled my fancy, let's move on a little bit. We've been talking about this for quite a bit of time. Let's talk about what tickled my fancy. And I want to talk actually about Miz and this whole Intercontinental thing this week. Okay, the reason this tickled my fancy, and I know you kind of disagree with me on this one, so we can have a good conversation on this. I kind of liked the segment because they threw the cliches at us, making us go, oh, it's going to be this. Duh, stupid. And they did it twice. And then they ended up being wrong, cliches, which is great. But then they used the cliche to twist it anyway in the end with the cameraman. So kudos to WWE for showing us, like, hey, oh, the old standbys, it's not happening this time. Oh, nope, just kidding. It is an old standby. So I liked it. I thought that was neat. The only thing I thought was really stupid was, and it fell apart for me, was when Maryse was screaming at him to stop. If she's telling you to stop, why wouldn't you stop? It makes no sense.
Well, that was a big part that I didn't like about it, was the Maryse thing. Because he was so incensed that he wouldn't listen that she bought him that? Like,
yeah, if she said, no, I got that. Because didn't he ask her, I didn't get the bear, and he didn't get the bear? So the next thing that came out, she goes, yeah, I got that. Okay, well, then it's got to be it, right?
Right. I think the best way to have ended that segment would not have... I wouldn't have had Dean as the cameraman. I would have not shown, like, the ramp or anything, and I would have just shown Dean up on the ramp in a chair, sitting down like a lawn chair or something, just soaking it in. As, like, Miz, like, attacked the cameraman for looking like Dean, you know, like...
Right, right.
It could have been all three things, but none of them should have been Dean, and Dean should have just been sitting there having done nothing the whole time, knowing that he's fucked with the Miz.
Right.
It would have been better.
Absolutely. That's what I thought they were going to do after the second time. I was like, okay, maybe Dean's just going to come out and be like, yeah, I'm in your head, even though I've done nothing.
It would have been better. Like, what the fuck? He hit Dirty Deeds. And that was it. Like, he hit one move, and that was, like, his, I'm all fired up, I'm going to pace around, Kurt Angle's got to throw me out, I'm going to get revenge, and I hit one move.
Yeah, okay, I'm done. I'm spent. Now, I'll say this. Good job covering him up as the cameraman, because at first I didn't know it was him. So kudos to them, because it didn't look like him, because I was like, is he the cameraman at first? Because I didn't see the bouncing bear thing, so I was like, is he the cameraman? I was like, nah, it can't be him, it doesn't look like him. And then I go, okay, maybe he's the bear. And that's what I thought for a second. I was like, oh, God, that's so goddamn cliched. And then they did the stuff. So that kind of...
If it was the bear, I would have been mad.
Oh, if it was the bear, I'd have been pissed. And then I knew it wasn't the box either at that point, once they did that. But I liked it. But what I don't like is, are they going to... what are they going to do with Maryse and Miz? Because Maryse and Miz together is gold. Now, I'm assuming they're not going to break him up. Obviously, it makes no sense to. But, I don't know. Are you worried that they might try to break up Miz and Maryse as a team?
No, I'll tell you what I'm worried about. I'm worried that they're not going to include Elias in this feud. And I'm also worried that we're going to have another mixed tag team match at SummerSlam between Dean and Renee versus Miz and Maryse.
That's
my fear.
Oh, I hope not. Because, what's her name isn't on the SmackDown roster, so
I don't think nobody's on that. The SmackDown roster.
I meant the Raw roster. No, what's her name isn't?
Well, Renee does Raw talk.
That's true. That is kind of scary. She is an announcer.
Which, right. I think she should be the lead announcer on SmackDown?
Absolutely. She should be the lead announcer on SmackDown, and she should be in. She should be announcing on the women's tournament when it comes to time.
Oh yeah, her and Jim Ross. If they put Lita in, I'm gonna be really pissed.
That's what I hear. They are putting Lita in. That's what I've heard.
Wow, surprise! Kent's pissed.
Yeah.
Nobody saw that one coming either.
No, you've been very negative this week, sir. And not all wrestling was bad this week. If you read our blog at 9deuce.com/wrestling, our blog there, Kent is very, very negative. Not all. Some of it's deserved, but not all.
In all fairness, I've been in a foul mood since May 30th. And it just hasn't gotten any better. And in all fairness, you, sir, were also not in a very good mood on Sunday.
Oh, my God. I wanted to talk about that. I was getting up to that. I want to do it. You want to do it now? Let's talk Sunday.
Yes. Elaborate on your Sunday,
okay,
please.
So let's talk Sunday. So I decided with Kent on, I don't know, we decided on Friday, I think we decided on, that I wanted to try to do a live blog with Kent because I thought it would be fun to see if maybe it heightened my sense of the matches and if I enjoyed it more. So Kent is all for it, and I thought, you know, it's a little bit of a gimmick. We can get our three fans that are interested to check it out. So Kent posted everything. I'm all set to go with it. And I should have known at this time, but it didn't recognize it. But around 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, my internet started acting up, but we could still use it. It wasn't terrible, but it was starting to act up. My wife was trying to watch some video, and it kept on pausing or whatever. Then at around 6:30, 7 o'clock, I went to watch a show on Hulu, and it was freezing really badly, but I was watching it on my television, so I'm thinking, oh, it's just the PlayStation's internet connection, blah, 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 whatever.
What were you trying to watch?
It was just one of the animes that I like to watch, so nothing major.
I felt the audience needed to know.
Yes, well, it's an anime. So then I decided, well, okay, I better get wrestling on. Because, you know, I wanted to watch it. And at first, I wasn't really joking, but I didn't think I would be able to get the kickoff show match. I didn't think I'd get that. So I told Kent I might not be able to live blog that. But I ended up being able to. But now here's where my troubles begin. And this is where everything goes to shit. So I turn on WWE.com on my television. And it comes up, and every 20 seconds, it would pause. So I'd sit there, watch part of the match, pause. Sit there, watch part of the match, pause. But it wasn't ending. It just was really, really crappy. So I was thinking, okay, maybe it's my modem. Maybe it's something else. I found out that my kid was uploading some videos to YouTube. So I thought maybe that was it. So I cleared all the YouTube, all those off. Because I was like, okay, he's killing the bandwidth. Nope. So then, now at this point, I'm like, what the hell? The one day, if I decided to do nothing other than just watch this pay-per-view, this would have been fine, nothing would have gone on. But because I decided I wanted to live blog this damn thing, it doesn't work. So now I'm talking to Kent, and I'm like, this is ridiculous. And I am live blogging. I live blogged the first, what, 2-3 matches, and then I was like, that's it, I'm fucking done. I missed one of the matches because I couldn't get my computer to work. So everything was just not working. And I was furious. I thought it was the modem. Unplugged the modem. And if you want to read it, I did live blog all the way till I said I gave up. And you can read it again at wrestling or 9deuce.com/wrestling. I believe you did put it up, right?
I did, yes.
All right, good. Because I wanted it up because I was so mad. It ruined my entire night. Like, I was so pissed. And I don't know if it ruined my enjoyment of all the matches, because some of the matches were good, but, like, I tried watching the tag team match. It was good, I think. I could have been better, but I was so mad at that point, I couldn't enjoy it. So I was just so furious. And then I called up, because he gave me the number to Spectrum, and he goes, yeah, you're having troubles in your area. Well, fantastic.
So, oh, yes, that's classic. You gotta be kidding me.
Yep, so the one time that I want this not to have any problems, and we had problems. So
come Money in the Bank, we're doing live blog again.
Absolutely, we have to do it right this time.
You know, in all fairness, I've been trying to figure out, was it because I kept listening to you bitch and I was kind of bored that I didn't like the matches? But the reality was, they put on two to three decent matches. I won't even say anything was good.
I thought the Aries... Now, okay, and this could be really just based off of being able to finally watch a full match on the card with smoothness. The Aries-Neville match was my first match that I actually got to watch without any interruptions, without anything. And I really liked it. I thought it was great. Psychology-wise, very good. The crowd could eat a dick because they were terrible.
Before you touch on it, this feels like a really good time for me to say, you know what really grinds my gears?
Absolutely. What does
I want to vent on this before we touch on it too much.
Okay.
The refereeing Sunday night was so ignorant, so bad. And I'm talking not about just one match. I'm talking about the Miz match, first and foremost. Oh, really, Mr. Ref, you think that Dean bumped into you even though he's on his hands and knees and you want to disqualify him despite you're only supposed to call it disqualification if you see it with your own eyes.
Right.
Right. That's what you want to do, Mr. Ref. And you're going to just act like such a moron. And the booking of that match was so dumb.
Oh, yeah.
When Elias could have participated. Secondly, and even more egregiously, was the Austin Aries Neville match. It's a submission match. Ref, why are you counting?
Yeah.
Are you going to DQ him? Yeah. You can't. There's no DQ. Oh, well, why can't you have a submission out on the floor? There's no DQ. There's no count out. Get the rules right.
Yeah, I didn't get that either. Because didn't Charlotte and Sasha do a submission match not too long ago? And it was anywhere?
It was the main event of Raw at one point. It was historic.
Yeah.
And Sasha won the belt for like the second or third time that night.
Right, exactly. And I was like, that's what I kept on thinking too. I was like, well, the submission should be anywhere. What's going on?
They fucked that up on such... I hate to say it, but I'm going to use the word. On an epic scale of fuckery right there. That was so bad, it took away all enjoyment from what was arguably the best match of the night.
Yeah.
The match itself was fine. The referee just took me so far out of the match, I couldn't enjoy it.
Yeah, at that point... I couldn't even watch it, so yeah, I know what you mean. But I did watch the next day, and I really liked it, but the crowd, getting back to it now, and that's what really grinds your gears, by the way, right?
That is what really grinds my gears.
The crowd, to me, just F them. That was a fantastic match between two great stars, and Neville clearly came out, cut up, and win. Like, it was a clear-cut win, which was fantastic. He needed that.
That's arguable.
You don't think it was clear-cut?
So, I mean, really, here's the question. What's higher now? The A-double level or the Neville level? We were told that the A-double level was higher than the Neville level, but now I believe that the Neville level is higher than the A-double level.
I believe the Neville level is now higher than the A-double. Yes.
I believe so.
But now what are they going to do with Neville? Because I'm curious. I definitely want to watch 205. See, so, congratulations. They got me to watch 205 this week because I haven't watched in a couple of weeks. But I definitely want to watch 205 because, honestly, I want to know what they're going to do with Neville. Double A. Because he is too good to be on the sidelines. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just so mad. Why don't they just give them another friggin' belt? They need another belt in that division.
Would you be more in favor of a TV title or a tag team title in Cruiserweights? I was debating this, and I think I would possibly go for the TV title.
Well, okay.
Because they would have to defend it every week on Raw. That would be the TV title stipulation.
And that's a good title for it. That's good. I like a TV title, so I'm okay with that because it could showcase some individuals. But the tag would get more people in, and you could get some more on display. And
the problem with tag team, I have one issue. You'd be forming a lot of two individuals as a tag team as opposed to real tag teams like
true,
the Singh
and that's,
Brothers.
So that's kind of where I lean towards TV, I guess. But I could see a tag working. It'd be interesting. I'd like it.
To see them bring in more tag team cruiserweights. Then I'd be more for it.
Yeah, I think they just need another belt. Why are they so afraid of having another friggin' belt in the division? Who cares? We need a belt.
I would like to see Aries and Kendrick as a tag team. I think that'd be such an entertaining, dynamic duo.
Oh, that'd be great. But, like, think about it, having another title. It takes some of these guys that are on the sidelines and gives them something to do. Instead, like, Noam...
Oh, you want to give wrestlers a purpose, Russ? Get the fuck out of here.
I know, right?
No.
Fucking purpose. Who needs that shit? That is WWE's biggest fault right now. There's no purpose a lot of the times with half the shit they do.
No, Tony Nese needs to be put on display.
Absolutely.
That guy's money. Drew Gulak, he needs to be put on display. Tozawa, he's been on display, but he hasn't had a long enough match to really show what he can do, and I really want to see what he can do.
I know he can do a lot. I've seen some of his matches in the past. He's decent.
Right. The problem is that we don't get to see it hardly at all. It'd be nice to have that. Honestly, Raw needs to really give us one good 20-minute cruiserweight match that blows our socks off.
Yeah, and then people start taking notice. And it has to blow our socks off. It's really so. Who would be giving us that match that blows our socks off? Definitely has to be Neville involved, because I think Neville is one of the top guys.
I don't know. I would almost consider doing something with a Jack Gallagher and somebody else in a UK
Jack
style.
Gallagher, yeah.
You know what I mean? The UK NXT match. If they do a stylistic match where it's really good and entertaining with the right crowd, that could really do wonders. It doesn't even have to be for the belt.
How about this? How about Gallagher versus Pete Dunne? That would be on
Raw. Watch it.
That would blow my mind. That'd be fantastic. Give him 20 minutes. I don't care. That'd be fantastic.
I think Kendrick versus Gallagher could give us a good, great 20-minute match, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, the only
Kendrick's pretty diverse.
The only problem I have with Kendrick lately is he's been relying on his move set instead of being innovative like he used to be.
That's something Steve and I talked about a lot, and mainly Steve. Cruiserweights are not acting like cruiserweights. They're just acting like normal wrestlers who are lesser weighted.
Yes. And that's not cruiserweight style. You don't have to do tons of flippy shit. I get it. I'm fine with not doing that. But Kendrick used to be fun to watch. Now he's just kind of by the numbers.
Yeah, because he's not going to ever get another push, and he's probably aware of that. He's on the Cesaro plan for life.
Yeah. but Cesaro is the bar.
Yes, he is the bar. And
it's a very low bar.
James Cameron will come along and raise the bar eventually for us. Why don't we talk a little bit about what the fuck Extreme Rules? All right. Let's just briefly go over it really quickly, because it did happen. We would have talked about if Kerry was here.
True.
The first match I thought was actually a cruiserweight match. They did more cruiserweight shit in that match than anything I've seen on 205 in a while.
Are you talking about the kickoff show or the
Kalisto and Apollo? Yeah.
Kalisto and Apollo, yeah. Okay.
I thought that was a good match.
From what I could watch of it, it seemed interesting. They always do this with Cruz, and I don't know why. They give him one or two moments to shine, and that's it. And it's not enough. He needs to have a match, because he's really good in the ring. He needs to have a match where he showcases his stuff, and it has to be against an opponent who can also match up against him. He doesn't need to talk or anything. He needs a mouthpiece. And he's got one, and they're just fucking it up.
Yeah, they are ruining this whole storyline. And it started off so great.
Yep, they had it too. They nailed it, and now they're effing it up.
Unreal.
Yeah. But it was a decent match. I liked it.
Yeah. Do you have anything to say about the Dean and Miz? Because I already ranted about that.
I'll be honest with you, because it was such a fuckery for me, I was just miserable at that point. I was just it wasn't bad from what I could tell to me.
It was a very mediocre match. That's all it was.
It just wasn't. It wasn't their caliber, either of them.
Right. The Sasha and Rich Swann thing. It was nice to see Rich break the curse,
I guess, but I also couldn't see it because by the time I was trying to download I'm not going to go back because it just brings up too many painful memories for some of those matches, and they're not worth going back to see. That's not a match.
It's kind of like Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull. I understand.
Yes.
Honestly, it was an okay match, but it was a mixed tag match, and they're the worst matches possible.
I know. I hate mixed tag matches. Just get rid of them.
After that, I think it might have been the tag team title match.
Okay.
Which was okay, but now, Steve also confirmed what you were saying, and I didn't hear them say that once you were out, you weren't supposed to come back in.
Right.
So, what the fuck were they thinking? Again?
Yeah, that's another ref thing, because that doesn't make any sense. How come he's back in? That I went back and watched this match because I was at that point. I was like, no, I'm watching this match because it wasn't bad. It was definitely good. It was entertaining. For a cage match, I actually enjoyed it because I don't usually like cage matches that much. They're tedious and stupid. But for a cage match, I liked it. So kudos for that. But I don't understand. If you knew that your partner had to be out with you, you wouldn't leave. That's just stupid, doesn't it? Like, we talked about this. It's so friggin' stupid. Why would you leave without your partner? And then going back in, so going back in means you're back in the match, I guess, which was weird too. I don't.
All right. So Steve remembers this match, and you won't, but okay. It was back in like 1992, 93, probably 93 range, maybe even 94. Money Inc. versus the Steiner Brothers. Main evented Monday Night Raw in a cage match. It was the old blue steel cage.
Yeah.
And one of the Steiners left. And when Money Inc. then double teamed, I think they double teamed Rick.
Yeah.
And then they were trying to escape. And Scott ran interference and wouldn't allow one of them to touch the floor.
Right.
It was a good idea.
Right.
And executed
smart.
Well.
Yes.
But this was just. Once again, whoever's booking this needs to really think ahead of, if we're going to establish these rules, then these are the rules we have to abide by.
Right, or at least announce that you're going to change them. Now, granted, I guess they didn't have to with this one, because it's been a long time since they've had a tag team.
It's been a while, yeah.
Yeah, steel cage match, so fine, I get it. But that is the stupidest match you could ask for, right? If you're talking, Kent, your voice is nothing.
If you're the Hardy Boys and you don't ask for a ladder match, despite being in dozens of them, and then you choose a steel cage match, you deserve what you get.
Yeah, I'm like, that's not... When someone said, when they're talking about it on Monday Night Raw, they go, we were in their element. You weren't in their element. That wasn't their element. That was stupid. They're idiots for choosing a steel cage. What the hell?
I feel like John Goodman and Big Lebowski right now, just screaming, you're out of your fucking element.
Yeah, you're out of fucking element. It was terrible. But the match was good. I enjoyed it once I saw it. It was good enough for me to go back and watch it again. But I didn't really get to see it.
And I gave it like a 5.5, which tells me I would watch it again, but...
It's not up there like I have to watch it again. Like right. I don't think I'll ever watch it again now.
We have the Bayley match, but let's skip that for now because I want to talk about women anyway.
Yeah, let's
do
that in a chunk.
Then we had the Aries match, which we already discussed. No sense in being the dead horse here. Paige is still around, so we still have that horse.
I think we need to come up with a award every week for the Paige Award.
Oh, God.
Or
wouldn't the Roman Reigns versus Bray Wyatt win it this week? Because we've seen that match 50 fucking million times.
What was it?
The Roman and Bray match.
Oh, Roman Bray. Yeah. That's definitely.
I think that wins the page.
That is definitely the page award.
Main event.
Yes, main event. Okay, I enjoyed it.
I liked it.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. I'll say I liked it. I liked it a lot. It was, to me, the match of the night. But again, you can't go by what I was going by because I had a shitty night of wrestling on that. So it was my match of the night. Even over the... Aries Neville match, only because the rules really fucked with me on the Aries Neville. That really brought it down for me too. Not as much as you, but it brought it down. But I thought it was good. I liked it. A lot of great spots. Decent spots. Some of them were definitely holy shit moments. Like Seth's frog splash onto Bray, which was awesome. There was another one that was fantastic. The three men going through the barricade.
Are they really holy shit moments?
That wasn't holy shit. But I don't know. The frog splash was. Holy shit. I would have been scared shitless on that one. There
We've
was another
seen it
one.
So
too.
Many times, though, I guess.
I know, I guess. But that's still dangerous as fuck. Like, you fuck that up, you're in trouble.
It is. And for a second there, I was wondering if Seth could have possibly hurt his knee because he landed knee first on the announce.
Right. Yeah. But he landed perfectly. They gave you another angle and he landed perfectly on Bray. But what really ticked me off was the ending. Oh, I'll say this too. Hold on. Every guy got a chance to shine.
I disagree.
You don't think so? All right, let's talk. But I thought everyone got a chance to shine pretty decently. And I actually liked Bray and Joe's team up because it wasn't stupid. It was actually logical. I thought that was really good. They did it really well. Like, you saw them trying to tease a turn just to get them, but they would, nope, okay, this guy's not done. We got to go back to him. That was smart wrestling, and they don't do that often. And the one time when Bray turned on him, it was a reasonably good time to turn on him because you're either going to get hit by that attack or you get out of the way. So I thought that was well done for the double team with Joe and Bray.
To go along with that, I loved the spot where Bray pushed Joe in front of him to hit, take Seth's dive.
Take Seth's dive, yeah. Good stuff. It was good because then that broke it up. It was a good time to do it because at that point, a lot of people were tired. Bray was either going to get hit by that attack or he got out of the way, and it was a smart thing to get out of the way.
Really, I admittedly fell asleep shortly after that spot.
Yeah. No, it was... It was good. I liked it. I didn't know it. The way you were talking about it on the blog, it didn't seem like you were too big of a fan on the double team.
Oh, no. Double team was actually the highlight for me.
Yeah, I thought it was great.
What I didn't like, I didn't feel that... I thought Seth out of everybody got the least amount of offense in. And yes, he had the table spot, so I guess that kind of helps heal the wound slightly. But I would have liked to have seen him in control for another minute or two of the match.
Well, he did get control right before that. Well, not right before it, but like before they broke out, like all five of them were just brawling. Seth had control for a little bit and had his moves going.
He did, but compared to everybody else, he had to have been the lowest percentage of person in control of the match.
Yeah, but he also had one of the bigger spots. So I get what you're saying. You're right, but...
Yeah. I also felt that... Now, granted, I also have to say that I've watched this match twice. Once I fell asleep, and the other time, just lost my attention span. Mm-hmm. So maybe Roman was in control way more than I'm giving it credit for.
He was more towards the end getting in control.
Yeah, and it really was getting kind of... Once they broke up the Joe and Bray thing, I kind of lost a lot of interest in it.
Yeah, that's where...
Okay, it had to be done, but I don't know.
Well, here's the thing. So, with that match, that's when they started giving everybody one... Like, Joe and Bray got their time to shine when they were teaming up with each other. That's when, after that, when they broke them up, that's when Seth got his time to shine. It was brief, but it wasn't as long as the other two, but it was... He had his control. Then Roman got control. Then he lost it. Then Bray got control again. Lost it. Finn got control. Roman got control. Finn got control again at the end, the last second. Then Samoa Joe came in. What I didn't like was Samoa Joe looked weak as shit with that ending. Because he got speared through the barricade. And he never came back after that until he won.
Did you expect anything else from a match that wasn't elimination style, though?
I guess it makes sense for the story-wise. You're right, because it had to be like that. But it made Joe look like a bitch. I'll be honest with you.
Whoever won the match was going to look like a bitch, because that's how that match was going to end, was by some fluky last second, oh, somebody's so injured, time to cover them. Oh, nope, going, no.
Yeah.
That's why you're doing an elimination style
I know
match.
What I want to talk about. You were talking about that we got it back with Finn. The coup de grace, you were talking about his finisher, and it's not very strong. That is, I know he's doing what he's doing, because when he attacks, he bends his knees so it doesn't hurt the person he's landing on. Obviously, we know wrestling's fake, so it's smart, because he would kill the person he lands on if he actually landed on him. But it looks so fake, because you can see when he's bending his knees. Like, he bends his knees exactly as he touches the person, so he barely ever hits them. And then he falls backwards. It looks bad. Like sometimes he can execute it okay, but a lot of times he just doesn't look like he touches the guy sometimes.
That's Finn's off. Finn's really not that great of a wrestler. And I like him. Like thing is, it's not that I don't like him. It's just that for all the hype, for all the love, if you really just look at his in-ring skills, they're very mediocre.
Yeah. Carrie right now is having like a heart palpitation, right? She's like, something's wrong.
Well, probably because her and Eric are in the midst of celebrating their anniversary.
That's true. Happy anniversary to you two, by the way. The only person who's listening probably right now.
I don't know. Honestly, I rewatched the match. That's the only time I'm ever going to rewatch it. All in all, would you not agree that this was the single worst pay-per-view of the year by far?
WrestleMania wasn't that good.
WrestleMania had a few good matches, at least.
Yeah, at least had a few matches you could sink your teeth into. I'd say
honestly,
weakest. I wouldn't say it was terrible. It was weak.
I would say it was terrible. Every pay-per-view should have at least a match that hits a 7 mark. I wouldn't even call a single match a 6.
I gave close, I think, the 5. I gave the final 5-way a 6, I think.
Yeah, I wouldn't even do that. That's what sucks. Like, one match should shine at the very least, and this one just...
But that's
the colognes were shining stars comparatively.
Look at the paper. On paper, though, this should have been... This should have been tits.
I was actually looking forward to the pay-per-view. I admit it, and that's what I get for looking forward to it.
Yeah, it was... This should have been the tits, because they had so many decent lineups on paper.
Yep.
To me, it wasn't terrible. It just wasn't great. Or there was nothing great.
We're talking about how atrocious this is, which I think is a perfect lead-in to... Let's talk about the Bayley-Alexa fuckery.
All right, let's do it.
How long did that match really last? I really don't know. It was under 10 minutes, right?
Oh, definitely, because the parts I got to see of it, I got right into the beginning of it, and I almost watched the entire thing before my computer totally effed up. Or not my computer, PlayStation, my internet just totally bombed itself. And it was stupid. God, like, what the fuck are they doing with Bayley?
Is she getting punished or is she hurt? Yeah. I keep suspecting that she's hurt because she got buried this whole past month. She did not overcome Bliss once.
Hurt? That tells me she's getting buried. She must have done something wrong. She has been, since she lost that belt, she's been a little bitch. Like, not in a bitchy, like, bitchy snack. It's just a little bitch. Like, she's not herself. She's not, she came out to Alexa's championship. Fine, I get it, because but she's supposed to be Bayley. She's not supposed to be a little sulky little biatch in the corner. She's supposed to be happy she's not supposed to be happy for Alexa, but she could not act like a sulky little bitch. She's been like that since she lost the belt, it feels like to me.
Have they done a worse job with have they done a worse job with anybody else from NXT than Bayley?
Sasha and Becky aren't doing that great either.
Becky was the first ever champ. Sasha won it 3 times.
Yeah, but since then, Becky's done shit.
But Becky hasn't been shit. She hasn't been shit. Bayley's been shit for probably 75% of her main roster run so far.
It's once she got the belt. Like, literally.
No, when she debuted, it was all fine. Hugs and kisses and all this shit. And a month later, she was not on the fucking radar for a long time. True. Then she gets involved. She doesn't win the belt for a long time. And then they pulled the trigger in February and put it on her instead of giving her her WrestleMania moment. No, I think she's in a short breath with, like, the vaudevillains and Apollo Crews and... that may be the fucking list.
No, Bo Dallas.
Oh, God. Bo Dallas is the headliner on that list.
Yes.
Poor Bo.
But yeah, they're effing her up. And I don't understand. How do you eff up Bayley?
Shouldn't she be the number one merchandise behind, like especially in women?
Absolutely.
She should be number one, by far.
Yeah. You just don't have her come out sulking like a little bitch. And she shouldn't be afraid to use a weapon. That was so stupid. I hated that. She got the kendo stick and then acting like she was going to hit him. Like, no. What? Yes.
If they would have given an explanation that it was some kind of moral compass that she just didn't want to use the stick, if they would have integrated that into a storyline, okay. But they didn't integrate it in anything whatsoever. They did a This Is Your Life segment, which everybody has since made fun of.
Even themselves.
Yes. So, I don't know.
What I don't get is this. Which was worse? That match or the segment?
The segment?
The seg match? The seg match? They were both awful. Like, that match pissed me off because I love Alexa. I think we all love Alexa. I don't think there's anybody who doesn't love Alexa. And she could do nothing. And I don't think it was her fault. I honestly blame Bayley on this. Bayley was terrible this entire time.
I blame the booking.
And the writers.
Yeah. Bayley is way more competent than what they gave her to work with. And, wow. I'm baffled. And then Monday, let's continue talking about the women.
Yeah.
Did you like the follow-up on the whole Nia thing? Like, did it work for you? Because it did not work for me in any way. Like, I felt Nia should have interfered on Sunday.
She absolutely. Well, okay, that should have that's how it should have happened, but they totally botched whatever they were doing with Bayley. As for logic, congratulations, WWE, remembering that. Thank you. That's one good thing. I like the fact that Alexa was smart. She uses her head. Like, she knew she wasn't beating Nia. And so what'd she do? Got herself DQ'd. Smart. And she did it by... She knew... All right, this is what I liked about it. She knew she wasn't going to get any friends from the other people. But what she did was she incensed them enough to make them come out. So, yes, they were stupid for falling for her trick. But she had that plan the entire time. She wanted them to come out to her match to make fun of her so she could get in a fight with them. It was brilliant.
But where was Bayley in all this? Like,
I was going to ask
where
that.
Where was she?
Where the hell was Bayley? Is she? Maybe she's injured. Maybe you're right. Maybe she's injured. They got her off television.
That's the only thing I can think of for treating her that badly. I can't fathom it otherwise. It just didn't make a whole lot of sense. And we kind of suspected Sasha might get another shot at the belt, and she was nowhere to be seen.
Nope.
For that angle.
And are they trying to make Nia face now or something? Because
she's not like most girls.
She is not like most girls. That's true. So, but it's just really weird because it seems like they're going to go on with this angle for a little bit.
If they try to make Nia face, they're going to reap what they sow because she cannot be a face until she has a good run as a heel.
Yeah, and she hasn't had a good run as a heel, so.
The only big girl that made it really work was Karma for the very little bit of time she was around.
Mm-hmm.
So disappointed.
So
with that being said, can we talk about the other brands' women?
Yeah, let's go. I was gonna say, let's talk about SmackDown's women now. We'll keep it. This is the women's segment. Carrie, this is your segment. We're doing it for you. So, women's segment. We had Shane come out, and he basically told us what a Money in the Bank ladder match, or as what's his name? I can't think of his name. Ellsworth, he was mansplaining. And good for Ellsworth calling that out, because he was definitely mansplaining. I think we all know what a goddamn Money in the Bank match is, okay? You don't have to explain it to us.
That was the best line of the night.
Yep. No. Fashion Files had one fantastic line.
They had a lot of fantastic lines, but I think James's was so, like, stinging almost.
It was. It was good, though. Like, I was like, is mansplaining. Why is he doing that? Good for Ellsworth to call that out. But here's my problem with this. Okay, first of all, they said the goddamn word historic so many times in that segment. Like, I know Kerry was counting, and I hadn't started watching yet, and I thought it was funny. I'm like, so I was like, all right, I'm going to watch this. Holy crap, within 5 minutes, they have said historic 7 or 8 times. And I heard first time a bunch of times, too. I was just like, holy, this is terrible. This is stop. When did SmackDown?
I think the grand total was 8 by the end of the night. Just fell short of the goal.
Damn, we're going to get it one of these days. I can't believe it's SmackDown that's doing it, though. That used to be a Raw thing. Maybe it's a Charlotte thing. That's what I'm starting to think. Maybe it's a Charlotte thing.
Well, did you read that interview with Bliss?
No.
Well, I posted it in the Facebook message.
Oh, maybe I did. Is that the one where she...
She said historic and first time ever.
Yes. I did. Yeah. I read that before you posted it, yeah. But that was, I hate that word.
At what point do they think, like, we care? I want to go to an event now and bring a sign that says, hey, WWE, next time could you please let me know if something's historic or first time ever? I had no idea.
Yeah, I really, Or when one of those matches are that it's a first time historic, be there and be like, this is historic.
This just start a chant.
Yeah.
First time ever. First clap, time ever. Clap, yeah. Clap, 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 clap.
No. Okay. Yeah, it's perfect. It's first time ever. This is historic. First time ever. This is historic. There we go. We got a chant going. I want it to start. Because maybe they'll get the idea that we don't give a crap.
No, they keep inundating us with this bullshit that we don't care about.
Yeah. Oh. But back to that segment, Lana. And now Lana's your girl, so I'll let you start off with that. Lana comes out. She finally makes her debut. It's no Ava Marie, and it is no Emma. She actually made her debut. So, go ahead.
Now, am I wrong in saying that a week or two ago, when we said things that we were looking forward to, I did say Lana's debut, I feel.
You did. How do you feel now that it's happened?
I'm at ease with it because the fans love it. They're not supposed to love it. She somehow has a championship opportunity in two Sundays. She looks amazing, and I can't imagine that she has an ounce of talent, and I'm fearful for Naomi's health. With that being said, I'm genuinely excited because it doesn't involve Charlotte. I'm happy that Lana's getting an opportunity. I really want to know what her ring gear is going to look like.
I want to know is, what would you do if she came out and was just phenomenal as in the match? Because I don't think they're going to let her have a match before it. There's no point in, at this point, tease us. Alright?
I'm going to go so far as to say that she's going to be way better than we're giving her any credit for.
Well, actually, because right now I think it's going to be a trash heap. That's what I'm honestly thinking right now.
I think that match is going to surprise us in many ways.
Well,
and probably go 30 seconds.
Probably. Here's the thing. Naomi is a great talent. Can she carry someone who has absolutely no talent? Or
don't
maybe
you
a lot
fear
of
for
has
her
talent?
Health?
We just don't know.
Don't you fear for Naomi's health?
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is going to be terrible because... Oh, yeah, no. Naomi's going to get hurt, probably. That's bad. Now, here's my problem with this whole segment. This is my big problem. My problem is this. When she came out, they started cheering her. And then they tried to make her look like a heel. So, you know, I know they were trying to do it, but the fans were cheering so much. It made everyone else look like total douchebags. Because Naomi looked horrible. Like, when they were cheering for Lana, yeah, Lana's heck, woo! And then Naomi acting like a pure bitch, which she was giving face. She was being a face in it, but they weren't taking, the fans weren't taking the bait. And it just looked awful, didn't it, to you? Like, I just felt like Naomi came off as a total bitch.
Kudos to Rochester, New York, for having a great crowd, I thought, on SmackDown. I thought that was a good crowd.
They were a good crowd.
And I don't know if you noticed, but possibly one of the best parts of that whole segment was watching Becky and Charlotte laughing as...
And doing the tea thing.
Yeah, they're like, yep, this is not going the way we expected it to go, and it was great.
Yeah, but they totally, like, I'm glad they caught on to it, so they obviously knew, but it fell apart so hard because the fans did not respond, and it was obvious on television because it made a face look like a heel, and it made Shane, honestly, look like a total douche because...
Total fucking douche.
Because he's like, you haven't earned it. And the fans were like, Lana, yes, yes, yes. And he's like, so you don't get it. This is the land of opportunity, not the... where I'm just like, the fans want it. And if the fans want it, shouldn't you be giving it to them?
Maybe you don't put a really super hot chick in an angle... And expect a reaction and then do that in New York or Philadelphia or Chicago. Maybe you pick a different place to do it because...
One where the fans are more easily manipulated.
New York fans are known... And I'll also throw Boston fans in too.
Yeah.
Despite hating Boston. But I mean, you just can't do it any place in New York. Every New York territory is full of dickheads. Like, we're just douchebags.
Right.
We're not going to give you the reaction that you guys want, so stop it.
Yeah. But it was bad. And I'm glad... I didn't realize that's what they were doing, because I only saw them doing the tea thing. I didn't realize they were just sitting back and enjoying a little bit of tea.
It was so... it was... That was a perfect car wreck.
It was. But it shows how WWE does things. The bully who we cheer... is okay because they're a bully, but when it reverses, it looks bad because Naomi's a baby face, straight baby face, and she's awesome, but she looked like a real bitch in this one because she laughed in Lana's face when the fans were cheering the fuck out of her, which makes her look bad. Everyone was laughing in her face, and it looked bad when the fans were going and supporting her.
Had Naomi tried to snatch Lana bald, the fans would have really revolted against Naomi.
And that's bad, because Naomi is way too good. She's the only... I think she's the only face that has a belt. Oh, Brock and Asuka. Because they're
Brock
both...
Brock's not a face, though.
I know, Brock's nothing. But he's not a heel, either. He's not pure heel.
And Asuka's not a face.
I know, but she's also not a heel. They're forces of nature, I'd call them.
Watch NXT. She's been acting a heel for the past 2 months.
I know they've been saying she's acting heelish, but she's more like Brock. I think she's more like Brock, unstoppable.
I get where you're coming from. I would just say if you had to say face or heel, she's more heel than face.
But that's what I'm saying. I think Naomi's the only face who has a belt.
That's. I don't know. Jinder keeps getting lots of applause. Every place
he's
he goes,
awesome.
But he's not awesome. We need to stop perpetuating this fucking lie here. Jinder is not awesome. I don't know the last time I've seen a guy with less talent get a world title run. Yes, the man got himself in great shape, but...
I'll say this for him. Go ahead and finish. I'll say it.
When was the last time you've had a more boring champion, excluding maybe Randy Orton?
Okay. It's been a long time then.
Yeah, it sure shit has.
But
he is dull.
He handles himself like a champion. And he's doing all the right things. So I'm okay with that, but you're right. Holy cow, is he boring. They need to do something with him big time. We know the problem. Stop the foreign shit. I don't care if he talks to his people in Punjabi. That's fine. That's great. Get the Indians in. But stop making the United States hate him because he's a foreigner. Who the fuck cares in this day and age?
Do you think they're going to have the balls to make this into JBL 2.0, where JBL won the belt and nobody thought he'd hold it for more than a month, and then he was the longest reigning SmackDown champ? Are they going to do that?
I don't think it's going to be that long, because I don't think they can do that. But when JBL started mentioning, like, backing Jinder up, I thought, holy crap, this is exactly what they did with JBL. They're right. And that's why
it is perfect.
Yeah, and I think JBL is kind of like supporting him. Like, yeah, he deserves it. And I'll say this, Jinder has stepped up his game. It's just not main event level.
Here's the thing, JBL wasn't main event level for the first few months of his run, and then he grew into it.
But they also. Okay, go ahead.
By the end, he was a bona fide star, and you could put him in any match from that point forward, and he was a main eventer.
Yes.
They could do that with Jinder, and I know you want to say something, but I want to ask you this one question. Is there anybody else on the roster right now that really 100% needs that belt? Because I can only think of one person that needs a big, big push right now. Only one person, and he could get it at Mania in theory.
Zayn,
yeah. Because Baron can wait his turn. Baron can wait another year.
Another year, too. He's fine right now, yeah. He needs a title. I would say, not Intercontinental, United States title eventually in the next year or two.
Yeah, but he keeps insulting Owens and calling them Cartman, so, I mean, we could see that.
We could, you're right. And Baron's been great. It's just, you know, he's getting a little old hat, but we'll talk about that later. What I want to talk about was the problem I see is they need JBL, at least when they did his heel shtick, they turned it into something. Instead of just him being straight out, oh, he's bad, he's a heel. They turned it into something good with his character. They're not doing anything with Jinder's character. He's still the generic foreigner bad guy. They need to get away from that and make him a real heel, and then they'll have money with him.
Well, I don't 100% remember JBL's first couple months. When did he get the cabinet? Was it prior to his run or during his run?
It was during. I don't remember having the cabinet beforehand.
I think that's going to be key. I think maybe they should bring up another guy as a muscle. And I think possibly bring up Nymph, or Aaliyah now is her name in NXT. She's a pretty cute chick. She's trying to be a face but gets nothing but heel heat.
Okay.
Bring her up. And make it to a stable. Remake the cabinet. That's the smart thing to do right now.
Yeah, I
would keep the belt on Jinder until SummerSlam or probably Survivor Series even.
I'd say minimally SummerSlam. I'd keep it on until Survivor Series. You have no reason not to. And if he starts proving himself to be good, keep it till WrestleMania. Who the hell cares?
Right. Like, they have nothing to lose right now. They're not going to make AJ Styles any better. They're not going to make Cena, Orton. There's nobody else that they can make a bigger star right now aside from Corbin and Zayn are the only two guys that can be made a bigger star over the next 12 months.
Right.
In that regard. And Sammy, as long as he wins Money in the Bank or the Royal Rumble, can still be made into a star within 12 months.
Yep. And Sammy's ready. Like, Sammy's definitely 100% ready to be that main event babyface star that you need.
My one concern about Jinder having a long, long run is how long before with Shinsuke.
How
do you keep Shinsuke away from the belt for that long, or do you actually have Jinder be the one that beats Shinsuke?
I don't know. See, I believe that Shinsuke shouldn't see that belt until at least after a year up in the
roster. I agree with you 100% because I don't think Shinsuke deserves it.
No, and I don't think Finn deserved it when he came up too. That was a bunch of bullshit too. I'm not glad that he got injured, but I'm just glad that kind of didn't fall out because people complain about Roman Reigns. What about Finn? What about Shinsuke? Not that Shinsuke's done anything yet, but
I mean, at least like what they did with Owens is they put the U.S. belt on him initially.
Yes.
And that worked fine.
Yeah, that's a minor belt. That's fine. He's a mid-card. He was, when he came in, a definite mid-carder. So, that's fine.
Which I think U.S. title could go on Shinsuke, and that could be a way to keep him away from Jinder for a while. I think that might be the idea of what
to
do.
And I think that's what they're doing, kind of, because I honestly think eventually he's going to beat Kevin Owens. He's been beating Kevin Owens. That's the other thing that's really ticking me off, him beating Kevin Owens every week. Come on. He shouldn't be. Shinsuke should Shinsuke have a match every week, or should maybe he be taking a few every other or so off?
I've been firmly in belief that once every 4 weeks, a wrestler should have a week off, and that should be mandatory, and that would give more opportunities. We haven't seen Ty Dillinger in, what, two or three weeks now?
Oh, my God, yeah. We have a new segment this week, folks, that we're going to talk about. Where are our guys? I think we're going to do that at least every other week, minimally, see where our guys are at. And my guys are not doing too good.
And who are your guys again, Russ?
Big E, Titus, and Ty Dillinger. Now, I will say this. Big E, while not doing anything horrible, he hasn't broken up from New Day yet, so he's still part of the group. I need him to break off from Big New Day and get his own shit going. So while he's not hurting me, he's not helping me either. Ty, we haven't seen in 2 weeks, so I mean they name dropped him at least. Hey, all right, Shane, thanks a lot for name dropping him. Let's get him back on my television screen, please. And then Titus. While Titus has been out there, and Titus has been working out hard, and honestly, he's been doing so good. Like, I enjoy his segments, but the WWE is totally botching this. They had gold two weeks ago. It was really good, or 3 weeks ago now.
It was 3 weeks ago.
Yeah,
they had money.
Yeah, they had money. They could have been like, okay, this is it. This is the formula. This is where we're going with it. Nope, screw it. And now Titus looks like a total tool again, and F him.
I can't really recall who my guys were. I know the Drifter. Who else did
Elias?
I have?
You got Elias. I think you took one of the girls, didn't you?
I may have taken Carmella.
You took Carmella.
Okay.
And I don't honestly remember your third.
I took Xavier.
Yes, it's right. It was another New Day because we both took different New Days characters.
So, all things considering, I have a girl who's going to win Money in the Bank. I have a Drifter who got to sing his own song at a pay-per-view, a shitty pay-per-view, and seems to be drifting through without an angle because they're hesitant to put him in the IC belt. And Xavier was part of the funny Fashion Files. Not the greatest, but I thought there was a lot of good stuff.
There was a lot of good. It wasn't the best one, but there was a lot of good. And there was a couple of
the black and white thing cracked me up.
Yep. I also really liked, honestly, that they can hear each other's thoughts, but nobody else can. I love that. I mean, you know me and you. We love those stupid things. The other part I really liked was they had a picture of Enzo, and underneath it said, "Out of our jurisdiction." I just thought that was hilarious.
That was great, yeah.
That was hilarious.
As long as they keep, you know, I love the fact that they had three fucking boxes full of stuff.
Yeah. The rompums? Okay, that was funny. Because at first I thought, I was a little bit confused why they were doing it, and I thought that maybe Fandango just thought the rompum was stupid. I was with him on that because it's stupid. But he just didn't want to take a bribe. Good for him. But then Tyler put it on. Oh, that was good.
They, on WWE.com, I think it was last week or the week before, they even did a segment on the male romper in which Miz was the only guy that said he'd wear it because he's the Miz. And I'm pretty sure it was Dolph that was just like making fun of the Miz pretty much the whole time. It was a good like 2 minute video.
You know what's funny? Is from what I've heard that they love the Fashion Files, which of course who wouldn't? It's been great. Which means it's not going anywhere. Apparently they're going to be trying to do it with a bunch of people on the roster. So I guess that's good for the Fandango and Breezango. Let's call him Breezango. Let's call Breezango. It's good for Breezango, but if it doesn't result in them getting a belt, what was it all for?
I think when Cena gets back, I think you're going to see them get bigger spotlight. I think we're going to see a six-man tag with somebody and somebody and somebody versus Cena and Breezango. I think he's going to try his best to get them over.
I think so, too. He really likes those guys, which is good because they're great. I mean, I've always liked Fandango. He was a little boring when he first came out in matches, but he's really come into his own lately.
It's amazing if you watch some of his early stuff in NXT. He was shitty. He really was.
Even in his WWE, he was in the beginning. He was pretty shitty in the match. He just had a slightly fun gimmick and a fun song to come out to.
He had a catchy as hell song, yeah.
And that helped him a little bit. But then he went down to obscurity. But now he's really picked it up. His match in ring, he has picked it up. He looks decent out there. I'm not gonna say he's great, but he's definitely decent out there.
Speaking of Fandango, I just saw that Summer Rae was in Maxim's top 100. How is she in a top 100 when she's never on TV? Like, speaking of obscurity,
is she on Total Divas?
I don't know. I'm a guy.
I know, me too. So that's why I don't know.
Ask Eric.
Or Eric, yes. We'll ask Carrie to ask Eric.
I just can't do it. I can't.
Me either. Don't worry. So that's the only thing I can think of is maybe she's on Total Divas?
I mean, she's hot as hell, and I don't know why WWE still isn't using her, but I don't know.
There's a lot of things I question with WWE, so.
Yeah. Did we have any other topics we wanted to really delve into?
Yes, there's one other topic, and it's going to include my man crush of the week, because we didn't really talk about this guy. Let's talk about my man crush of the week.
Hey, Russ.
Yes. Sir.
The fans would like to really know. Who's your man crush of the week?
Ah, well, I'm glad you asked, Kent, because I do have a man crush this week. My man crush is Samoa Joe. And it's not because he won on Sunday. Congratulations to him on winning on Sunday. No, it's because when he went after Paul and he talked to him so intimately, that was so sweet of him. And the way he caressed him and everything like that, it makes me think he's a tender lover. And frankly,
Samoans can be, yeah.
And frankly, that was touching right here. And I was like, man crush right there. Because nothing's sexier than a nice, caressing man, you know, being there for him. He was there for Paul until he put him in the goddamn cocaine clutch.
Well, I mean, then he held him, though.
Yeah, he did held him. Exactly. It was nice. At least he held him. I mean, my goodness. Good for Joe. So my man crush brings us into Joe. I do want to talk about Joe. How awesome was he Monday night? And how much is WWE going to fuck this up?
All right. So, props for Paul Heyman for, although it wasn't really a bump, he took a move. And Paul Heyman hasn't taken a move in a long-ass time, which tells me that he believes in this.
Yep.
Paul cut his Paul Heyman promo, which I it's a broken record, but nobody can cut a promo quite like he does.
How is he that good still? Like, it doesn't even seem like, to me, it's no effort to him, and it just, he does the same things over and over. How has nobody else picked up on this?
I was wondering as he came out, like, does he ever, like, stand in front of a mirror and rehearse, or does he just do it? I've always wondered.
I think he just does it. There's no way he rehearses.
I think he's got that innate ability like The Rock does, where he just, he has the presence. It's golden. Paul doesn't cut a shit promo, ever.
He cuts weak ones, but he's never cut a shit one.
Right. This one was just really, really good, and Joe lived up to it, and God damn it, I didn't think WWE was capable of it, but they have me believing that this match is not going to be dog shit.
Yeah.
I'm not saying the outcome's not going to be dog shit, but I think the match, I think win or lose, and by that I mean lose, I think Samoa Joe may come out of this a better person,
yeah,
a better wrestler, a bigger star. Don't you agree?
Yes, just by Monday night alone. I mean, because everything leading up to this has been horseshit for Joe. And you've been complaining about it the most. And
yes, I have.
I mean, it's been garbage for him. And then Monday night, even Sunday night, I was like, oh, God, no. When Joe won, I was really ticked off. I was like, oh, shit. Well, there goes his career. And then Monday night happened. I'm like, holy shit, they can do this. That was exactly what needed to happen in order for Joe not to look like total horse shit when he fights Brock in a month now? I have no idea.
Yeah, 4 weeks probably.
Okay.
Great balls of fire. Great
balls of fire. What was the advertisement you were talking about?
They did it on Raw as well, Russ. Did you miss it both times?
I fast forward through commercials on Raw, so.
Yeah, so you gotta like maybe even just go to WWE.com and look at it. It's awful.
Okay. But
honestly, like, they had me believing for a second. I'm like, God damn it. If they would just have the balls to pull it right now, pull the fucking trigger and have a double disqualification something and put the belt on Joe at SummerSlam and give him the Brock rub, they could make a star.
They're not.
They're not, but they could make a star.
Oh, absolutely.
Simply doing that.
Absolutely.
And I wouldn't have Joe lose the belt until Mania either.
Oh, no. If Joe gets the belt, he needs to hold it. But Joe's there. He'll be there having matches. So I don't care. I've been against
that. To me is important, though. Isn't that important to you to have the champ
present?
Being on show?
Yeah. Oh, it pisses me off to no end that Brock's not there. And the fact that they don't seem to either care or WWE, because he should have already been stripped of the belt. Isn't there a goddamn rule that says you can't?
For everybody else there is, but not for Brock. And I know a lot of, you know, Jim Ross notably, but other people have said, you know, it adds to it, to his whole thing that he only shows up, he's a money fighter. And to me, at first I kind of was like, okay, I can see that. But right now I see it as disrespectful, and so I don't
every
blame Brock.
Guy there? Oh,
yeah, I don't
Brock
blame
either. I take it if he's giving it to it. Sure, absolutely.
Right. I blame WWE for allowing it. This is the parent allowing the child to get away with shit.
Yeah, but the problem is this: they've set a precedent for Brock, but they've also set a precedent. If someone comes off like Brock now, they can do what Brock does, and that's not good.
Could you see Cena doing this in, like, 3 years from now? I could.
I don't think he would necessarily, because he loves the company. I'll give him that. Brock likes wrestling. He can give a fuck about WWE.
Brock likes money.
Yes.
And God bless that man, because he loves money. And what he's done, he's built himself up to be big enough to earn that money.
Right. Yes, but the fact that he hasn't been there since WrestleMania, we all know he's going to win a Great Balls of Fire. None of us are surprised by this, and there's people who are eating this up. Like, he's a prize fighter. This is wrestling. This day and age, we all know it's goddamn fake. So, I watch it to get stories and enjoy a match and to have something to complain about. That's the three reasons I watch wrestling. And it gives
Seems
me all
legit.
Those. What?
Sometimes Bliss, too.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. You got to watch it for Bliss. Alexa Bliss.
Yes. It confounds me how I feel like in 10 years from now, when we look back on this period of wrestling, we're going to look back and say, this was really stupid how they did this.
Yes.
Like, a lot of times we do sit here in the moment, we bitch about things, and then like a year later, like nostalgia, like, you know, it really wasn't that bad.
Right, yeah.
No, I don't think this is the case.
No.
Because Brock's last run was shit, too. Yeah. And I haven't thought it was good. I never did.
Yeah, and I hope he's keeping himself in shape, because his match with Joe needs to deliver. For Joe's sake, Joe doesn't have to win to get this one to deliver. As long as the match delivers. If it doesn't deliver and it's shit and Brock wins, Joe's fucked.
Well, the good thing for Brock is that he can pop as many steroids as possible, and he's not under the guise of having to pass a wellness test. He doesn't have to. So, Brock wins no matter how you look at it all the time. Just by virtue of being able to do whatever he wants.
Now, that's the other thing, too, with Brock. Like, so he doesn't have to pass the wellness test. He also gets to basically say how his matches go. Dean, remember? WrestleMania a couple years ago. Shit. So, what if Joe wants to do this great match and Brock's like, no?
The only thing is that, by and large, I've only ever heard the bad thing about with Dean. I never hear anybody else really bitch about Brock. Like, when Goldberg was talking about Brock, Goldberg was so nice about how Brock handled everything. Like, he was so super
nice
about
it. But that was superstar versus superstar. Dean, while he's a great character, he's an up-and-comer still, where... So,
I understand that Dean never was going to impose a physical threat compared to a guy like Samoa Joe.
Right. Well, that's where it is. That's where the difference is. Joe has that presence.
Do you think they're going to do a battle of who can lock on their submission hold first? Do you think that's where they're going to go with it?
It's possible.
I see lots of suplexes from both men, some hard hits.
It's going to be suplex city for both guys. And I think it's going to be, submission. I think Brock's either going to win by submission or some kind of fuckery.
I think there's going to be fuckery. I don't think this is a one-and-done match.
No.
I have the hype that I think this goes on.
Well, Braun's coming back soon. What's going on with that?
Supposedly.
Right, supposedly.
But do you really give a fuck about Brock versus Braun?
Only because Braun's been so friggin' amazing, yes. But it's only gonna squash him once he loses, so I get where you're going with it.
I fear that Braun is going to have a hard time stylistically against Brock.
Yes. But it's
for
two monsters.
For both ways.
But it's two monsters.
It is, but in the past, two monsters, I mean, Kane versus Taker has never produced a really good match.
True,
despite
fair enough.
Those
and
guys having
both,
great chemistry.
Yeah, I'd say both of them are really good.
So, I mean, it does happen where, I don't know, Braun is really good, and Brock, if he wants to be, can still be great. If he wants to be.
If he wants to be.
Like, Brock can still wrestle if he wants to.
If he wants to.
But... It comes down to who's what he wants to do. It's not like Hulk Hogan creative control, but it's close.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
And that sucks. But, like I said, for Joe, I hope Brock is willing to help Joe. That's all he has to do. He just has to give him a rub. Doesn't have to win the belt. He just has to give him a good match.
He has to look like Joe's moves hurt him.
Yes.
That's the important thing. He has to sell the moves. I'd love to see Joe try to do the muscle buster.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'd be a big move, have Brock kick out of that, and then go to the finish. I think that's the way it should go, is that he hits the muscle buster, goes for a coquina clutch, and gets close to having it fully applied before Brock muscles out of it,
right.
And then, you know, delivers four or five straight suplexes, F5s him, and finishes it.
Yeah.
I think that's how I'd like to see that match.
Yeah, as long as it's got to be like Brock has to do a lot to put Joe down.
How long do you want that match to go?
10 minutes.
Honestly, 10 minutes.
10 minutes.
I was going to say 12 minutes. Right. I don't need to go 15. I think 15 is too long.
Yep. For both of them, definitely. I mean, Joe could probably go the 15. Joe can go forever. I know.
Yeah. Joe's one of those weird guys like Owens that can go forever somehow.
Yeah. It's Brock I'm worried about. Brock doesn't seem to be able to go more than 10 minutes. But this doesn't need to be more than 15 minutes. I'd say 15 is the absolute max. You do not want to go beyond that. Because this is supposed to be a power match.
All right. I meant to ask you this. I don't have it saved anymore. Okay. I don't. Wait, I might. Hang on a second. Say something stupid, Russ, while I look this up.
So, my name is Russell, and Kent asked me to say something stupid. So, usually what comes out of my mouth is pretty stupid. But
sold. I have it now.
Okay.
At the end of the Fatal 5-Way match, Michael Cole, and I'm not shitting you, I typed this up word for word, what he was screaming to try to beat Jim Ross, I guess? Balor's in trouble. Balor's in trouble. Balor's fading. Balor's fading. Balor may be out. Balor's turning blue. Balor may be out. Balor's fading. That's seriously how he ended that match. And
but
I was like,
it in a scream, so it was much better than the way you made it sound.
No, there was nothing good about that.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Nothing.
When he said Balor's turning blue, I'm like, no, he's not.
It reminded me of that year when you were screaming that Brock was turning purple.
But he was.
I'm aware of that. Brock seems to turn purple for all of his matches as of late.
True. Yeah,
isn't
I know
that a concern? Like, shouldn't the WWE be a little concerned that Brock may someday drop dead in the middle of their ring? Isn't that a concern?
Yeah, I would be very concerned with that because he does not look like he can make much. That's why I think a 10-minute match is more than enough for him. Because he turned almost your pillow there, I can see, he turned about that purple.
I agree. It's scary.
What was I going to ask you now? Because I was going to ask you something about... we got to do one more segment, at least, minimally. Holy cow.
We got two segments.
We got two segments, yes.
Because I know that you figured out who your wrestler is going to be. You put thought into that. I can tell.
I did put thought into it, actually.
Sure you did.
Just let me look something up while you say something stupid.
Russ is really smart, and he's very forward-thinking. He knew this question was coming, and
I do have somebody. I picked him out last week, because that's when I was rushing, so I do have somebody. Because I thought it was me last week.
I think it probably was, but we weren't really sure.
Yeah, so I'll do it this week. I got it. I just got to make sure if I remember who he was.
All right, well, we got our one segment before that.
So let's do that one. All right, so we do have one segment that we like to call the Braun segment, since we're talking about Braun. Let's bring it up. It's the I'm Not Finished With You Yet. It's about us and what are we looking forward to in the following week with wrestling? So there's no pay-per-views this weekend. So, Kent, what are you not finished with yet?
I guess I am Lana. I'm really intrigued where the hell they're going with this. Are we going to see her in a match or not? And I guess that makes the most sense. I was going to say Ty Dillinger, but it's no guarantee he's going to be on next week.
Exactly. I was going to say, yeah, I would be like that too. I want to see what they're doing with Ty, but there's no guarantee he'll be on next week.
I'm also kind of curious about the mystery, but I didn't want to say in case that was something you were looking forward to.
It is, but I also have, there's like four things I'm looking forward to, so you could have said the mystery. The mystery has been fun. We didn't even talk about the mystery this week.
Where is this going?
It seems like it's to me that Cass is the bad guy.
Did you like the Big Show thing?
Why? Was I entertained by the Big Show segment, Kent? Why? That's a great idea. We should probably do that since we never did that segment.
Wow, we're combining two segments into one segment. My mind is so fucked.
Yes. So I would say that, yes, actually I was entertained by it for a little bit, but it was awkward at first. But they started to do really good with it. Big Show was too stoic in the beginning to really, because Enzo kept on going and like Big Show just sat there kind of stoic and it wasn't working. He should have released sooner to be that goof. But I liked it. I thought it worked. I didn't like the fact that they squashed Gallows and Anderson, because that's just asinine.
But was it any worse than how Slater and Rhino got squashed?
No. But again, if you really want to see our feelings on that, go to wrestling or 9deuce.com/wrestling. But yeah, I liked it. I didn't think it was that bad because they're putting a little bit of intrigue into this still to kind of give us this whodunit stuff. But again, I beginning to think it's definitely Cass. Although I'd love it if it was Enzo and he's just trying to get away from Cass and he's just, you know, becomes a mouthpiece instead of whatever the hell he is.
That's my hope. Because they keep showing us the Revival every week. I'm hoping that Enzo's the Revival's new mouthpiece because Big Cass cannot go heel with Braun, Joe, Bray, and Elias all on the heel side. You can't. You just can't make Cass a heel. So keep Cass the face. Make Enzo a heel. He's a natural heel.
Yes. Yes.
And the Revival need a mouthpiece. It would work on so many levels. The Neville level, even.
It would be almost at the Neville level. I don't know if it would be quite the Neville level.
It might not. It may only be like the A single level.
Yes, not the A double, but the A single is definitely
there. I wasn't entertained by it, and I'm pissed off because of how Gallows and Anderson and Ginger Rhinos are being treated right now.
Yeah,
I don't
bad.
Like it.
Yeah, that's bad.
I didn't care much for the whole promo thing, and even when Big Show came to life, it never felt quite right to me, and it wasn't from lack of effort, it just didn't click for me. So I'm going to say I wasn't entertained, I was kind of grating my teeth a little bit during it, so I'm going to say no. But with that being said, what are you not finished with? Since we're doing a segment within a segment within a segment.
Yes.
Inception style.
Inception and segments. Inception segments. I am honestly looking forward to what they're doing with Joe. Again, the mystery is something I definitely am looking forward to too, but I really want to see if they're going to keep this up or they're going to totally fuck it up this week. So we'll know for sure. You said it best, not this week, but the week before, they need to have a back or brawl that gets the guys to come out to try to break them up and doesn't work or whatever, you know, it just takes, they need that. Because it shows that these two guys are out for blood, and that's great. That's what they need.
So that was the biggest thing that sold the Taker versus Brock Hell in the Cell was that pull away brawl.
Oh,
that
absolutely.
Was a huge selling point back then.
Huge, yeah, that was big. So I'm thinking, if they do that with Joe, that would sell me. I'd be ready. Like, and it doesn't have to be more than a 10-minute match. Give me a 10-minute match. I don't care. I'll be happy with it. Joe doesn't need 10 minutes. He just needs to look badass out there. Like, holy crap, he brought it to Brock and anybody else should be scared.
It would really help, actually, if Brock would blade a little bit for Joe. It would really help.
A little bit.
Brock is the kind of guy that's willing to do that.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. Brock is totally willing. I think Brock is willing to make a guy look badass, especially if Brock's winning in the end anyways. I don't think Brock really cares. I think he likes that ideology. I think that's actually probably why Vince really likes Brock. I think deep down, Vince really likes it. He just likes the advertising money more.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, Kent, are you ready for the 9 Deuce?
Yes.
Guess the wrestler.
All right, so give me the two things I need to know.
Well, hold your horses, sir. First of all,
it's dead.
It's been
that horse
beaten a lot.
Yeah.
Yep. So,
you know, I got thinking of if there's really like a full length page porno, how much would I enjoy it?
As long as Xavier Woods is in there and Brad Maddox, I'm pretty sure we'll be.
Like, I would like a full length feature length page porn. Just throwing that out there.
All right. Okay, so. Guess the wrestler. Basically what this is, we get 9 questions, 2 guesses, but since there's only one person being able to guess, Kent will get all 9 and 2. Pretty sure he'll get this one because I half-assed it last week, and I didn't change it for this week. So I'm pretty sure Kev will get this one. But current and a man.
Okay, current and a man. All right. Are they on Raw?
Raw, yes.
Are they a former champion of any title?
Yes, I do believe they've held championships. In
Are you actually on Wikipedia by any chance?
Yep, that's why I'm...
You can actually, at the top, they always say what championships are, and you can just click the link.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
There we go. Yes,
that's pretty helpful
he's had
when I do
quite,
that.
Yes, thank you. He's had several championships.
Okay.
He hasn't too many times, but he's had several.
Okay. Has he ever been a world champion? Or the main belt?
No.
You know, whatever.
No.
Never world. Okay.
Well, let me rephrase that. Not in WWE.
Fair enough. Did he come from NXT?
No.
Okay. That's a little conflicting for me. Currently, is he currently? Shit. I don't know how to word this. All right. Did he ever wrestle in WCW?
No. Not, I don't think so.
Okay.
I'll make 100% positive on that in 1 second, but I don't think so. I don't.
Well, judging by that, though, it sounds like this guy's been around for a while.
Yes, he has been around for a while. And okay. No, definitely not.
Okay. This is getting more and more intriguing, because it can't be Joe, it can't be Big Show, and it can't be Mark Henry.
Joe was on WCW?
Huh?
Joe was on WCW?
No, but Joe was in NXT.
Oh, right, duh, yeah. Okay.
So, I'm still trying to think of older guys... I can cross off Finn, I can cross off Bray. Actually, I can cross off the whole fucking upper card, basically.
I was about to say, you can cross off most of the upper card, right.
Jesus, and Dean. Miz, I haven't crossed off yet. Is this man currently married to another female person involved in wrestling?
Ooh, I don't know if that's a good question, because I think the answer is yes to that. But I don't know for a fact.
Or at least with. Not necessarily married, but with.
Hold on. Okay. Think of your next question. Because okay. I'm not 100% sure. So I'm going to... And it doesn't look like they're talking about it on here. So I'm going to say no.
Okay.
I swear I've seen.
Has this person... been in TNA before?
Yes.
Okay. We can also get rid of Aries. God damn it.
All right. To answer your question, I'm believing no, she'd never been.
Okay.
But he is married.
Okay. I can cross off Rhino, because Rhino has been a world champion in ECW. Is this person currently in a tag team?
No.
No. Fuck. Is this guy currently in the 205 division?
No.
Okay. Wow.
You have one more question, I think, right?
Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah. I mean, there is not many guys left to go through here if he's
no,
not
and
currently...
you're gonna. Well, I'll talk about it afterwards. I don't want to see if you get it or not.
Now, when we say current, we're implying that he's a wrestler, or are we not implying wrestler when we say current to start it off?
He is definitely a wrestler.
Okay, so. We're not saying like somebody like Booker T or Corey Graves who could be an announcer.
No.
Okay, I'm just wanting to clarify that one.
Yeah,
so I can see myself getting angry about this.
You will, because I'll tell you afterwards.
Okay. Has he ever been an Intercontinental Champion?
I want to say no. But I'll tell you in a second when I go back to his wiki page. Nope.
Okay. Not I see. Wow. So many non-possibilities here.
I thought this would be pretty easy for you, but maybe not.
Well, the whole lack of NXT thing really kills off such a huge portion.
Oh, it does. So that's why I thought it would make it even easier for you.
All right, my first guess is Titus O'Neil.
No. Second guess.
Okay. Wow, I'm going to probably feel retarded here, but... fuck it. No, you said not tag team.
Why, who are you thinking? I won't take it as your guess. Who are you thinking?
I was going to say Heath Slater, but Heath's part of a tag team.
He's part of a tag team, yeah.
There's not many guys. There's Sin Cara and Apollo Crews. Bo Dallas was NXT. Curtis Axel. I don't even know if Curtis Axel's on Raw.
I was going to say, is he even on Raw?
Like, I really don't know the answer to that one. So if I'm going to have to guess between Sin Cara and Apollo, I'm just going, since I went with Titus the first time, I'll go Apollo the second time.
No, but if you stuck with the color, you might have gotten it. R-Truth. And see, that's why when you said, was he a part of a current tag team? He's not. He's no longer part of Golden Truth.
Here's a problem, Russ.
What?
He's a former world champion.
Yeah,
in
I said
TNA.
Not in WWE. I did say not in WWE. I did clarify. I said when you said world former world, I said no. I said not in WWE.
God damn it.
So I did give you that hint, because yes, I'm looking at his championships. Did you think him at first at some point and then kind of cross him off because of that?
I did.
Because
I was like, I know he was.
Well,
like
when you
the
said
first
TNA,
or second
I like,
ever
had it.
TNA.
I was like, ah, oh, crap, he's got it, because he went TNA.
Oh, yeah, you did say yes to TNA.
Yeah.
Why did I not focus on that more?
I don't know. And when you said current tag team, I was like, oh, man, the way he worded that, that's terrible, because no, he's not. And
when you said TNA, honestly, I was thinking, oh, it's got to be Rhino. But then the former world champ thing threw me off because he was ECW form champ.
Right. That's why I changed my word, because when you said world champion, I was only thinking WWE. But then I looked up and I saw his world heavyweight championship from TNA. So I was like, not in WWE, he wasn't.
Unfortunately, I just was not paying attention well enough. So kudos to you. On the plus side, I guessed the whole black roster pretty much.
You did. Hey, at least you got him the color.
Actually, I got to say, I'm enjoying the Gold Dust and R-Truth promos.
Me too. That's
as
why
there.
I chose them. That's why I chose them, because I've been enjoying what they've been doing. So I was like, hey, why not?
What are the odds that WWE doesn't even give them a pay-per-view match? It's just going to be some throwaway match on Raw.
Oh.
I'd say at least 85%.
Yeah, I was going to say 80 to 90%. You're almost guaranteed.
Oh, God. All right. Well, that was funtacular.
It was. All right. And that is going to do it for this week's Are You Not Kentertained? We hope you enjoyed yourselves, folks. And unfortunately, with Carrie not here, we did pretty good. I'm not going to lie. We did go over a little bit probably what we would have done normally. We did just, I will say this. Carrie keeps us structured. Thank you, Carrie. Because you and I, we just rambled on. We just literally talked for probably an hour and 40 minutes to just kind of skid over what our stuff is.
It'd be like, honestly, if me and Steve had Carrie for our Monday podcast, they'd be at least cut in half. But yeah, we can't help ourselves, so.
Oh, I know. And some of the conversations we have, because then we start talking, this is what the problem is. We start talking about something, we catch our interest on something, and we move on. With Carrie, she's like, no, keep to the topic. And
I gotta say, making her the host was actually a stroke of timing brilliance.
Yes, absolutely. Because it makes it more palatable. And because yeah, right now, we're wasting time, and we're already at 145.
And like I said on Monday, if anybody has Amazon Prime, check out a movie called Dead Bite. It's about a hip-hop group who ends up like on some island and some zombies or some shit. It sounds really awesome.
All right, is there anything big going on this week, Kat?
This week, yes, Friday is going to be an Orange is the New Black retrospective blog on 9deuce.com, and next week I'll have more, but next week's going to be Babadook, which, once again, just to go off course quickly, LGBT to some people now stands for lesbian, gays, Babadook, and trans.
What's Babadook?
The Babadook is a horror movie.
Oh.
From Australia in 2014, and it's our bi-monthly or whatever thing on the horror movie group.
Okay.
And it's cool, and all of a sudden, my buddy Dom, you've met Dom.
Yep, I know Dom.
He sends me this link, and it's all these gay people are saying like how Babadook represents gay people, and I read it, I was like, holy shit, my mind is blown.
All right.
So there's that.
All right. All right, well, for Kent and for the missing Carrie, again, happy anniversary, Carrie and Eric. This has been Are You Not Kentertained? We hope you were, and we'll see you guys next week. Bye, everyone.
There you go.
I was going to do it. Don't worry, I had it.
Everybody watch Dead Bite.